right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Blessing of the Lord. This lesson is The Favor of the Lord, Part 2. It is July 22nd, 2022, and I'm Dr. Mary Craig. So let's open with prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you that he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, Lord God, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. Lord God, we thank you for those in Christ who were chosen before the foundation of the world, and now we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. Thank you, God, for the ascending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us, and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. Lord God, we ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. And Lord God, we ask for wisdom concerning walking in the favor of the Lord. Lord, that you would show us from your word what it is, what the favor of the Lord is, how we can walk in it, and Lord, just keep revealing truth about your favor coming on those who are in Christ. And we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of all that Jesus did. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way in our time of need. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are going to be looking at kind of walking in the favor of the Lord. We use this word favor in a very narrow sense in our culture. Like, would you do me a favor? When the Bible speaks of favor, it's talking about grace, goodwill, bending or condescending or stooping in kindness to someone. Pertaining to God, favor refers to the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. As we talked about in part one of the favor of the Lord, the word favor comes from the Greek word charis, from which we get our word for grace, and that is spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. Grace is undeserved. Favor can be obtained, and someone can find favor in the sight of God. Now, according to Pastor Jerry Vargo, at least three things apply to finding favor with God. Number one, total unconditional surrender, meaning here, letting God be God, without limiting him and putting conditions on our surrender to his will with the mind of Christ and the heart of the Holy Spirit. Number two, absolute purity, which involves acknowledging our sinful nature and the iniquity of our hearts, and receiving the love of God for us. God's love is a true love, a love without a lie, a love that does no harm, a love that covers a multitude of sin, and a love that comes from God's holy heart, which is pure and undefiled. We are to purify our hearts, but this involves humbling ourselves before a sovereign Lord, confessing the truth of the Word of God, and that without rebuttal, without debate, without rebellion, without resistance, and letting the Holy Spirit sanctify us as He is a refining fire. We embrace holiness and seek to live worthy in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, who applies to us what Christ has accomplished for us and in our place. Number three, having the mind of Christ. This means acknowledging the truth, aligning ourselves to the truth, seeking to comprehend God's perspective and purposes and ways, and praying to think thoughts coming from the Lord and not the thoughts of a man. It is bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let's remember, when God gives us a mission, I'll say that again, when God gives us a mission, He also gives us favor to accomplish the task. Lance Wallnau defines favor like this, quote, "To have the peculiar signature of God's favor or honor or cherishing value placed on you so that when He sees you, there is a special value He has for you. When He likes you, there is such an influence that comes upon you that the charisma of God Himself rubs off on you, which makes other people like you or cooperate with you, whether they like you or not." And favor is the special affection of God toward you that releases an influence on you so that others are inclined to like you or to cooperate with you, unquote. Okay, so it's kind of an anointing. Today we would call it an anointing that comes on a person to accomplish a mission or a task, and God grants us favor. And we can go to God and ask Him, go to the throne of grace to ask Him for this, for mercy and grace and this favor, His favor. So the last time we examined Noah and Joseph as examples of those with favor, and who else might we put on that list? Ruth found favor with Boaz, a type of Christ. Two, Hannah found favor with the priest Eli. Samuel, the prophet, was born, and 1 Samuel 2:26 says, "And the child Samuel grew on and increased in favor both with Yahweh," or Jehovah, "and also with men." Number three, Nehemiah found favor with the king. He accomplished the mission of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Number four, Esther found favor, so much so that the king offered her up to half his kingdom. Number five, King David found favor, even though he often failed. His heart was after the things of God. And I want to emphasize, God wants to bless us with favor. So let's look at some other examples. Exodus 3, verses 20 to 26. Oh, the first example is the children of Israel. Exodus 3, 20 to 26 talks about God giving the people favor. Exodus chapter 20 contains the Ten Commandments at the beginning of that chapter. In the remainder of Exodus chapter 20, and in the three chapters which follow, we find a series of laws delivered by God to Moses. Ultimately, God would give a minute and complicated elaboration of rules to meet all cases, or a foundation of cases, which fills the three books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So in Exodus 20, starting in verse 18, it says, "When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sounding of the ram's horn, and the mountain enveloped in smoke, they trembled and stood at a distance. 'Speak to us yourself, and we will listen,' they said to Moses. 'But do not let God speak to us, or we will die.' 'Do not be afraid,' Moses replied, 'for God has come to test you, so that the fear of him may be before you, to keep you from sinning.' And the people stood at a distance as Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'This is what you are to tell the Israelites. You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven.'" And that was Exodus 20, verses 18 to 22. And you can also look at Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 29. And note the following. Number one, God granted favor in the presence of his enemies. The children of Israel had seen this for themselves. Likewise, the children of Israel saw how the Egyptians cooperated. And their deliverance was God's favor. Why? Because they had a mission to fulfill. And now let's think about Moses. Exodus 33, verses 1 to 17. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of the land of Egypt, and go to the land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. And I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people. Otherwise, I might destroy you on the way.' When the people heard these bad tidings, they went into mourning, and no one put on any of his jewelry. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I should go with you for a single moment, I would destroy you. Now take off your jewelry, and I will decide what to do with you.'" See, God is holy, and you don't mess with a holy God. So the Israelites stripped themselves of their jewelry from Mount Horeb onward. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it. They're talking about the tent of meeting, it was called. He used to take the tent and pitch it at a distance outside the camp. He called it the tent of meeting, and anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Then, whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand at the entrance to their own tents and watch Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and remain at the entrance, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they would stand up and worship, each one at the entrance to his own tent. Thus the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the tent. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you have been telling me, 'Lead this people up,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor in my sight." See that? That's God knew his name, the name. God knew Moses by name, and God had told him that he had found favor in God's sight. "Now, if indeed I have found favor in your sight, please let me know your ways, that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord answered, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." "If your presence does not go with us," Moses replied, "do not lead us up from here, for how then can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight, unless you go with us? How else will we be distinguished from all the other people on the face of the earth?" So the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this very thing you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." That was Exodus 33, verses 1 to 17. Moses wants certainty that he has found favor in God's sight. He begins with an "if indeed I have found favor. Let me know your ways, that I may know you and find favor in your sight." In verses 14 to 16, how was Moses to know if he had found favor? He wants God's presence to go with the children of Israel as they leave Sinai. God gives his commitment. God's presence will distinguish his people from all the other people on the face of the earth. God knows Moses by name. And then, in the verses that follow, God responds to Moses' desire to see his glory. God will show Moses his glory, in particular, his goodness. He gives Moses specific goodness and why it must be a certain way. Because of who God is, Moses cannot see God's face and live. God will proclaim his name, the Lord. And then you'll see it in different Bibles. Lord will be in all caps, L-O-R-D, because the meaning there is Yahweh, and that is God's name in covenant. Then Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And God responds, "I will cause all my goodness to pass before you," the Lord replied, "and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." But he added, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." Okay. So with favor from the Lord comes, and that's from Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to 20. So with favor from the Lord comes an increased knowing of his ways and his person. The names of God reveal God's person, his attributes, and thus his glory. So whenever you see, whenever the Bible talks about the glory of God, you want to look around the verse for specific attributes of God, specific characteristics of God, to see what the word glory is referring to there. because it has to do with God's various attributes. And in this case, it's goodness. Moses wanted to see God's glory, and God determines to show him his goodness. And then he proceeds to talk about his goodness. So with favor from the Lord comes an increased knowing of his ways and his person. And the names of God are very important because they reveal God's person, his attributes. So like this ministry is a spiritual warfare ministry. And over the years, we started out, you know, compiling the names of God, names of the Father, names of the Son, S-O-N, and then names of the Holy Spirit. And we found out, as we were faithful to proclaim the name of the Lord as part of a strategy for the nations, and wherever we were sent, 86 nations, and many more than one time. As we have been faithful as a ministry and mission, the mission, God has revealed more and more of his names. And they are in the Word of God. They're in the Word of God. Some are not as obvious. For example, in the Song of Solomon, I think it's chapter 8, there is a name of God, and it says in the middle. It doesn't come out in the English translation. You would just go right over it and never think that a name of God is hiding in there. But in the middle, where, you know, some Bibles have all these scriptures and little comments, very, very small print, and references to other parts of the Bible. And so, you know, there in the Song of Solomon at this one point, it says L-I-T period, meaning literally, flame of Yah. Hallelujah is praise Yah, praise the Lord, okay? So, there is this name, Flame of Yah. And God started showing us all kinds of names. They're kind of hidden in the Bible. They're not so hidden in the original Hebrew, but they're hidden in there. And God reveals these names, and they're very important. The Flame of Yah has to do with that God is a consuming fire. His love is a jealous love, not the bad kind of jealous, but the kind that is a love that jealously guards the ones he loves. And we're talking about electing love there. And he loves us. One time I had a person just, I don't know, using witchcraft, whatever they could do to, you know, knock me out, so to speak, spiritually or whatever. This was years and years ago. And it was in the morning, about 10 o'clock or something, and I could feel this coming through the airwaves, this anger and this hatred and this oppression, and it was just unbelievable. And all I could do was I just laid down on the bed, and I couldn't really talk or anything. It was so great. Like, it was really sent, you know, to knock me out or kill me or something. And then it just stopped. Suddenly it just stopped. And later on, I had this person come up to me and told me that she had been in her living room throwing everything she could at me spiritually from the dark side. You know, all this oppression and hatred and all this stuff that had been done, you know, to kind of take me out. And then she said that the Holy Spirit showed up, and she was, you know, some people are spiritual. That doesn't mean they're true believers in Jesus Christ, but they are spiritual. You just don't, they have spirits, but not necessarily the Holy Spirit. But she said the Holy Spirit showed up and knocked her to the floor, and didn't let her up until she stopped. And that was it. And she was so impressed by that experience that she had to tell me. She told me all this that went on. And she called it the thing. And she said, the thing in me has respect for you. And I told her what I did. I said, I didn't do anything. This is all God. We have to give God, I give the living God all the glory here, because all I could do was lay on the bed. I mean, really, I was just in God's hands, and that was it. And anyway, the interesting thing is, she taught me, she really understood the spirit world, and she actually is the one who told me a lot and about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So go figure. But that really happened, and I learned a lot, that how much God loves us. The Holy Spirit fights for the lives of his children. So that's something else. All right, and then we want to look at the warning to us from the life of Saul. Saul did not seek the Lord's favor. In 1 Samuel 13, verses 7 to 14, Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. See the obedience. He had a mission, and he didn't seek the Lord for favor, and so he disobeyed the command of the Lord, and he got in big trouble. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. 1 Samuel 13, 7 to 14. Saul lost his authority and his kingdom because he did not seek the Lord's favor and because he did not pray to know the ways of God and the person of God as had Moses. Other factors also contributed to the downfall of Saul's kingship. But for us today, we must point out that there is a danger in not seeking the favor of the Lord. And then I just want to put in here that having the favor of the Lord is not a guarantee that everything is just going to go perfectly, well, like they used to say, coming up roses, quote unquote. It doesn't mean everything's, quote, coming up roses, unquote. because when we think about the life of Christ, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He had the Holy Spirit without measure because he's fully God and fully man. And the favor was there. He had a mission. He was sent by the Father to save. He had a mission and a message. And certainly the favor of the Lord was there. But he had to endure hatred from people. He was called all kinds of names. They tried to kill him. They conspired against him. You think of all the how Jesus was treated, really. And he's God. Jesus Christ is God and came as God in flesh. God incarnate, and he had no sin. He had no sin. It was not. There was nothing in his heart of iniquity. He had no bent, no crooked places. It wasn't in him to bring any rebuttal or rebuke against the Father, or to, wasn't in there. He didn't resist. And that's why he is meek and lowly or humble in heart. And he obeyed even to death on the cross in payment for our sin. And when you think about it, see, and he had the favor. So it's not that we have to realize so that we stay humble before the Lord. Because when the favor of the Lord comes on someone, God may give name and fame and all this stuff. And a lot of people want a name and fame and glory and for themselves. But see, that's not the example of Jesus. That's not the heart of Jesus Christ. And so we need to consider the life of Christ when we're talking about the favor of God. And if we have a mission, if we have something that the Holy Spirit, it can be a small assignment or a great big assignment. Doesn't matter. We want to obey the command of God in our lives. And I'll tell you, there's the call, and there's the commission, and then there's specific commands of God, and there's the commitment of God. And in a way, that's what Moses was looking for, that commitment. He wanted God's presence. He wanted God himself to go with them. And you think about Exodus 33 is a very important passage in the Word of God. And give it some thought. Because God just didn't give Moses everything he wanted. God remains completely sovereign, a sovereign and holy God. sovereign and holy. So he's not the buddy on the end of your bed. He's not your buddy. He's your friend, but he's not your buddy. And always keep God in his place and keep yourself in your place. And pray for each, we have to pray for each other that we all keep ourselves in our place before the Lord so that we kind of get over ourselves. It's not about us. We're just the messenger. We're just an instrument in the hand of God. No matter what. And God wants to bless us. When the blessings come, that is a real test. That's a very big test to see if we're going to take all the credit or give the glory to God that we know it came from God and didn't come from us. All right. The living God, the covenant-keeping Lord, calls us by name, and we belong to him. He is the God of all grace, the Father of mercies, and is known for his goodness. He is faithful to reveal to us his names, which reflect the many facets of his glory. He knows his own and desires that we know him and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. His love is an everlasting love. The bond of the covenant of grace in Christ is a blood covenant. It's a bond in blood. It cannot be broken. Jesus Christ offered himself once for all time as a sacrifice. Jesus satisfied sufficiently the divine justice of God, paying the penalty for sin, for offering a holy and sovereign creator. Oh, he paid the penalty for sin for offending a holy and sovereign creator. Jesus bore the wrath of God, mediating reconciliation with God, redeeming a people who would be marked with the brand mark of Jesus Christ. He delivered. He is delivering and will deliver his own from his enemies, including death. He destroys the works of darkness. He overcomes, and his own will have rest in his presence. Amen. And Father God, may we be blessed with the favor of the Lord, and may even our enemies be at peace with us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.